morning. Today is Monday, May the 28th. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Joining us this morning. Yeah, we're taped today. Mr. Brian Mitchell from Security National. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
Yeah, it's not going to be tough for either of us to forget names, is it?
Doctor.
Yeah, doctor. Yeah. So you got a humor. You're really not an accountant, are you?
I'm an accountant by training, but I don't admit that freely.
Well, okay. Rob is also, but he doesn't talk too much about that.
I hear more about him being an attorney.
But yeah, I imagine. Yeah, that's the. You know, everybody's got a good personality and a bad. I'm not sure which is what.
I like to be the good cop to his bad cop. But
there you go. All right. What we're going to talk about this morning is the Planning Commission. Brian's on the Humboldt County Planning Commission. It's been in the news lately, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the different things that are involved. I suppose, Brian, the starting spot is for a lot of folks, unless there's some kind of a dust storm flowing around, nobody even thinks about the Planning Commission or what it does, or even the general plan or what it does until it affects your home, my home, the listener's home. So in broad strokes, what is the Planning Commission and what is it supposed to do?
Well, I think your statement can go to government generally, that people don't think a lot about municipal, local government and its functions and how vitally important it is until something goes wrong or until something's going on in their neighborhood. But just to explain to everybody in simple terms, the Planning Commission is an advisory board to the Board of Supervisors. So everywhere that's not in an incorporated city, which is 99% of the area of Humboldt County, by the way.
Really? It's that high?
1% is incorporated on an area basis, not okay. Population.
But yeah, on a footprint.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh. And we're sort of frozen there and unable to incorporate areas that would really make sense otherwise, but for state rules like McKinleyville, for example.
Yeah, in the old days, it was okay if you wanted to, you just kind of do the land grab, but now it has to be revenue neutral and some of that stuff that really kind of ties your hands.
There's a lot about state law and planning that sort of the tie goes to the status quo, which can make sense in many areas, but in areas where you're trying to improve the status quo, you're sort of hitting your head against the wall quite a bit.
Yeah, I've got a saying I'll use every once in a while. You know, you beat your head against the wall till you're bloody. You know, you get dizzy and the wall gets mad.
One of those is true.
You know, and you think about, you know, one of the challenges I would suppose with a planning commission or any commission is that word that you used, advisory. You know, and you get some of the healthier egos that are involved sometimes. And on both sides, you know, the electeds as well as the appointeds. Well, why do we spend all this time doing if you're not going to accept what we recommend? Okay, on the other side, look, I'm an elected. I'm looking for feedback. That doesn't mean I'm going to agree with the decision you guys arrive at. I'm looking for feedback. And that kind of back and forth, that tension, I suppose, is why these things exist, so that it's not a rubber stamp. And on the other hand, the electeds aren't totally out of the loop about what is being recommended. Fair?
I mean, I guess I could go on and on about the importance of representative democracy, but the people that we elect and that are supervisors can't be expected to dig into the weeds, so to speak, on every single project and 1,000-page EIRs. But at the same,
do you guys have to go through that stuff?
Absolutely.
1,000-page EIR?
Regularly, yes.
Huh. I won't ask how you get to sleep at night.
That's not an issue. No.
Holy cow.
So our job is, you know, because we're not staff, we're not paid to do this, you know, to give that citizen's perspective on these documents, and so that there is a recommendation given to the Board of Supervisors, and then they take it from there. They're ultimately accountable to the electorate, and our job is just to give our best recommendation, and it's important to have citizens making these types of decisions because it affects everybody.
Well, and in theory, you're dispassionate about a specific project. It's not in your neighborhood. It's not you doing it. It's just kind of eyes and ears as somebody who lives in the neighborhood?
Especially in my position, there's five representatives from each supervisorial district that sort of represent that area, and there's two that represent the county at large. So if I'm unsure, you know, maybe if I'm on the fence, I try to consider what's best and what the average citizen of Humboldt County would want.
So you're one of the at-larges?
Yes, sir.
Sir, don't do that. That changes the whole flow of this program really, really quickly.
Okay, Brian.
All right, there we go. Okay, now we're back on the beam, so to speak. So, 1,000-page documents. Are you and the other members of the commission accountable for each of those? Are you supposed to kind of get the general gist of it? Are you looking for the whoops? Because there is the paid staff that is overlooking all this stuff, too.
Sure. So, fortunately, there are executive summaries that really point you in the right direction of the areas of potential impacts, so you can read the entire thing on, you know, noise or traffic if that's what the particular project has most concerning issues or is closest to the line, so to speak. And if there's really no issues, you don't need to read the details of how they calculated, you know, the smells for this project if it doesn't have to do with odor.
Unless you're just really curious, natively curious, because that's what staff does.
Well,
in theory.
They are, and you know, they focus on all these things that, again, no one else wants to hear. No one wants to think about how is this project going to affect the smell of my neighborhood. But when you have a brewery or a marijuana cultivation site popping up next to you, all of a sudden, why in the heck didn't we think about smell?
Life makes sense. KINS News and Information Time is 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with another Brian. We got you surrounded. Brian Mitchell from Security National, but we're talking more about Planning Commissioner Mitchell.
That's right.
Normally I would have said sir, but I told you can't call me, so I'm not going to call you. There certainly have been occasions in the last 5 to 10 years where the Planning Commission is thought of. You know, the last one out on Mad River. Okay. You know, and I suppose for me, that whole discussion and a lot of folks also, is it brought up the historical use concept. Now, some may say grandfathered and some may say antiquated, but, you know, I tend to put it in that context. How many, and I know that just a gut, how many of the different things that are going on now, regular going business concerns, if it was trying to be implemented today, you'd start laughing, you'd be giggling, or it would cost so much money to get through all the variations and the exceptions and the amendments and the that it just wouldn't never be able to pencil out?
I think that's a fair point, Brian. Especially when you look in the coastal zone, there's so much, almost everything that exists in the coastal zone would not be able to be developed today. The car dealerships, the other stores along the bayfront, Highway 101 itself, everything on the Samoa Peninsula, you know, sometimes it's hard not to feel like Humboldt County is a giant mitigation bank for the rest of the state. So they can do whatever they want, and they feel better by just sort of leaving us
parkland.
Exactly. And that's why it's important to have effective representation at the state level, because you know we aren't just a park. We have to have a thriving economy and have put people back to work, and it's vitally important that we have people to talk about this.
So as you individual Brian, not Commissioner Brian.
Sure.
You reflect on places like Miranda, Phillipsville, Oreck, Carlotta, places that have water around them, but have also had their knees knocked out from underneath them and kicked in the teeth on the way down from some of the environmental laws that are in place or some of the repercussions of environmental activism over the years. Are those communities ever going to have a chance to really become viable again, or are they always going to be remember when and you see signs of and have to rely on convenience stores and campgrounds and things like that instead of really having a viable economic base?
Well, I hate to be so negative, but since you asked the question, you know, those economies largely transitioned from timber to marijuana and nothing legal, you know, for many years. And with the changes in the state regulatory regime and the changes to the market forces, those jobs, even though they were sort of gray market or black market jobs, are also going to be going away. So I think things for those outlying communities are going to be getting worse and not better for the foreseeable future.
Or they might become bedroom communities if that's allowed. Because you know, you got these things called water and sewer and electricity and internet and all these things that I guess under the heading are called infrastructure.
Yeah.
But if they're not there now, how do you put in a water system in Oreck that could allow some of those large areas, if somebody wanted to put in something, to be able to put it in?
Well, there's so many challenges, and again, the state favors the status quo. So anything that's going to be, quote, growth-inducing, you know, is not something that you're going to have an easy time implementing, even if the funding were available to do that. But I think that expanding wastewater treatment facilities is something that needs to be, you know, considered because of the impacts to water quality and, you know, quality of life for those people in the outlying communities.
Yeah, certainly you start looking at things with an eye of what is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not what's PC, but what's healthy for the folks that are already there. I would suggest that well water probably isn't as pure as what it was 50 or 100 years ago when those wells were originally sunk. Okay, so now do they have to put in all these super duper filter things that become too prohibitive for anybody to live on that property? Or do you really wrestle the python and deal with some of these situations and look at it, maybe not, I'm thinking of Oreck specifically, but not Oreck, because Oreck's never going to be able to afford to be able to invest that stuff. You know, bonds, it could be a 100-year bond. It's still not going to be enough because there's not enough players. But look at it countywide or maybe regional, or go back to the feds and say, okay, you guys, when you did the park, you killed the economy. You promised. You didn't deliver. It's time to step up and honor those past commitments.
And I think more broadly, the state and federal governments need to do a better job investing in infrastructure entirely. I mean, the infrastructure we already have is crumbling and failing away. So to talk about adding new infrastructure is an additional challenge. How are we going to maintain a new water system when the other one is falling into disrepair?
Or the bridge needs work.
Exactly.
You know, it seems like some of those types of things, particularly for the smaller rural areas, and you know, we could say Eureka would qualify too, but I mean the micro rural areas that we have so many of, you know, they're almost in a can't win situation, which isn't the way that we were set up originally. But does the Planning Commission have that kind of ability to be flexible?
So our job is really just to interpret the rules and decide if a certain project meets the rules, and we can make recommendations if we're asked to look at whether the rules make sense or are fair, but you know, that's really not our purview. It either meets it or doesn't meet it. And sometimes you have to lean into one to help it along, but you know, you can't.
So when everybody kind of gives a little pushy motion, that's like come on, guys, we'll help you out.
we really want, you know, this. And the environmental laws give you sort of the ability to have an overriding consideration. There might be the impacts, but the benefits are outweighed by them. So
you can still do a Ben Franklin plus and minus. Yeah, I know. I'm simplistic. Yeah, you accountants, you're too sophisticated for me. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Brian Mitchell from Security National and the Humboldt County Planning Commission on Memorial Day 2018. You got any plans? You're going to go? Later on, I'm going to go cruise Myrtle Grove. And just, you know.
Well, it really depends if this fog lifts up. I am a father of four, and
you may be hitting the lakes. Is that what you're saying?
We may be doing some hiking. Like to get the kids out and do some hiking on the Hammond Trail or out to the Moonstone Beach. Those are.
What do you think about the one that Eureka has got? Have you stomped on that one?
So we've seen it, and we're really excited about the plans to connect it. You know, I live in the north part of the county, and we can get as far as Break Hut now, but we'd really love to have the opportunity to use it and ride our bikes all the way to Eureka. And so as that gets done alongside where the rail bed is, we're definitely going to use it and check it out.
Okay. That's curious. You know, you see some folks, and then you see some folks. And, I keep hearing anecdotal stories. Some folks really enjoy it, and some folks still a little hesitant about it. So I was just curious, you know, if you guys go walking and stuff, and you got little guys, your sensitivities are probably more in the norm rather than somebody else.
We seem to stay in the. I feel like Eureka is a dividing place for the county, and if you live north of Eureka, you don't go south of it if you don't have to, and vice versa. So we typically stay in the Trinidad and McKinleyville and Arcata, Jacoby Creek areas.
So we may bump into you on the head then.
Maybe.
Yeah, okay. Brian, the general plan is another thing that the Planning Commission, it's tough for us because, you know, it, outside, to know who's the whipping boy and who isn't. Political fodder, non-political fodder, power games, all that kind of stuff. I can remember having a wager with Roger Bodoni. And the bet was not by 2010. Then he goes and dies. So I didn't get the chance to cash in on that. But I had it with Jimmy. And all the guys that I had these bets with are no longer around. It, you know, you don't take a bet for me.
Sounds like a good life advice right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just don't get too close to Pabstein. But it took so awfully long. And to me, the intrigue was not trying to satisfy for everybody, not dragging this thing out, but the recognition that everybody seemed to have that this is a living, breathing document and needs to be updated on a far more regular basis. And yet we weren't updating it on a timely basis and then looking to the amendment process to be able to handle it or to update various elements through the plan. What percentage of the time were you on the Planning Commission? Is that bad boy was going through?
So fortunately or unfortunately for me, basically all the heavy lifting was done before I got there. I participated as a member of the public and attended a number of hearings over the years. But
you didn't have to go down to Phillipsville for the motocross.
I did not.
Start all that. Okay, good.
I did not.
He's smiling in recognition, just in case you can't see that on the radio. Was the process, now that it's over, or at least phase is now completed and you're into another phase on it, was it healthy or did it become personal?
Well, the results of planning always have personal implications, but I can't speak to what happened, you know, when it started, because I wasn't around. But from what I can see, you know, the general plan update was a significant step forward. You know, we were so far out of compliance with state law, but not everyone's opinion could be in the final document, and that's just, again, the nature
that's
of
normal, though.
Representative democracy.
You know, okay, I've got an attitude. Gee, what a shock! I've got an idea. Okay, I throw it out. Well, if it gets in, it gets in. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that I'm being dismissed or not. It's just another idea to throw into the hopper. I mean, but I know that that's not a common attitude that a lot of people have. Here's my idea, and it must be included, or I'm going to make your life difficult. That seems like a goofy way to approach this thing, but was that a significant part, even towards the end, as it was coming through to, I guess, the final determination, and the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted?
Well, I'm not really sure how to answer that. There's definitely folks that are still upset, and there's avenues that folks can take if they don't feel like their valuable opinion was considered. And I think it's fair to say that there's still things that, you know, the moment it was printed, there's some part of it that's out of date, and we need to continuously focus on improving it.
Is the staff embracing the continual revisiting?
Well, I've heard a lot of good suggestions lately about not only making it compliant with state law, but making it easier to use and more timely to use. And some great suggestions have come forward from other agencies of how to make things simpler and fewer times to have to come before the commission and at a cheap, lower cost. So staff seems very receptive to including those ideas.
So there's an embracing now instead of a battlement or siege mentality.
You know,
if you weren't on the commission, you're not throwing anybody under the bus on this stuff.
I guess I'd have to say that all I can speak to is the staff now, which is they really seem receptive to not only making it a better process, but one that's fair and more streamlined.
All right. We'll be back with McKinleyville in a second.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Brian Mitchell from the Planning Commission. We'll forget the other part. What is the biggest issue that's out there right now that the Planning Commission is either anticipating receiving, you know, some kind of change at Sacramento that is going to deal with here, or that's just kind of a pending issue that you see kind of starting to bubble up a little bit?
Well, I don't think it's starting to bubble up. I think it's boiling over. And, you know, we have thousands of, you know, cannabis applications in the pipeline in various stages. And the legalization has, you know, brought all sorts of upset to communities and neighbors, and, you know, what once was sort of ignored is now having to operate you know, in a commercially reasonable and normal fashion that they haven't been expected to before. You know,
their business like OSHA things and
exactly.
ADA and et cetera, et cetera.
We're going to see, you know, your minimum wage is, you know, labor law
the posters,
out at Gardens soon. But I mean, that's the type of stuff that folks in the industry are dealing with and having to learn how to speak a new language of planning and permits and water quality. And I would imagine it's very overwhelming to folks.
So you're getting the brunt of that, or you're just kind of seeing that it's this gathering storm that's going to be visiting?
Well, for the last year or so, you know, our agendas have doubled in size, and we have extra meetings every month to try and accommodate the backlog. And so we've talked about having like an all day Saturday meeting, or just trying to get all these projects before us so people can have a decision on what's happening and give the neighbors a chance to talk about it. Because until they get a hearing, you know, everything's up in the air.
Well, I would think that if it's a lot of neighborhoods and individuals, night meetings are not the most convenient. So like doing a Saturday, I mean, if you really want to get crazy, have Rexy show up with his rolling, you know, meat burning device.
I mean, I feel like if you were grilling,
throw some hot dogs and hamburgers out there and have a kind of like an old fashioned town hall kind of a thing, but on a Sunday on a Saturday, and just make it so that the community, whatever the community is, can show up and more casual, but still have that interaction.
I think that's a great idea.
Jeez. See, it didn't take too long. Just almost the end of the show before we got an idea. With cannabis there, that's a big one. What about the state? Are they whipping things down on the county that are as concerning?
I think the biggest issue that we face is that Humboldt County's tried to be in front of and at the head of the line in terms of setting policies for cannabis. And the problem is that the state has sort of done a 180 in terms of, here's what the rules are going to be. Oh, wait, never mind, it's this. And so because we were trying to be the leader, we ended up having to have multiple iterations of rules. And there's people that have purchased property
expecting
that you want me to go here. Well, actually, never mind, go over there. And so people are rightfully asking, what was the point of us trying to follow the law when the law doesn't know what the law is?
Yeah, there's an old saying, right? The leaders take the arrows.
No good deed goes unpunished, yeah. I think it's more appropriate here.
Dad used to have one of those in the garage. It was a little guy, and I forget, I think it was Eureka Printing back when they were, and he had a big screw in the middle of his chest. Best laid plans, so to speak. But hopefully you'll be able to get out, run around a little bit, remember Memorial Day, and thanks for coming by.
All right, thanks.
Maybe we'll get to see the old man next time, huh?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. All right, we'll find out if he's listening also. See everybody tomorrow.